Good morning. Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. It is good to be back home. As many of you know, this is the congregation that I grew up in. And if you don't, now you do. But we are very excited to be here, very happy to be worshiping with you today. And as always, very humbled and flattered to be asked to bring forth a lesson to you. What Jeff read this morning from John, the fourth chapter. I understand that Brother French has been bringing some lessons on John, the fourth chapter, so very interesting coincidence that that's what I'm preaching on this morning. This is from a series of lessons I did on the topic of evangelism, and this is the one that, I just very thoroughly enjoyed studying this and putting this lesson together, and this is the example that Jesus shows us of what evangelism is when he comes and ministers to the Samaritan woman at the well. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. So, anyway, I want us to understand something, that Jesus not only preached and ministered to the multitudes and the many people that he came in contact with, that came to listen to him preach, that were there when his disciples were there, but he also knew and demonstrated the importance of teaching and ministering to the individual and the example that he sets when he speaks with the Samaritan woman at the well. So I want us to take a look at what he shows us, at least what I've gleaned from this scripture, in how he shows us to evangelize, to preach, to show who he is and what he's done for us, and how to minister and evangelize to people and to the individual. In John, the fourth chapter, in verse 4, it says, "And he had to pass through Samaria." I want you to understand something. Jesus showed compassion by going to Samaria. This is not something that Jewish people did. They oftentimes went around Samaria. This is not a people that they had many dealings with. And Jesus understood that he had a need, a spiritual need, to go to Samaria. This is not something that just coincidentally he did to cut time, as instead of going around Samaria, he went through Samaria, and he went there for this reason. He went there to minister, to show compassion, and to show who he was, and show the gospel to the Samaritan woman. Samaritan woman, of course, if we remember the story and think back to the story, was shocked at the fact that Jesus was even talking to her, because Jews did not talk to Samaritans. This is not something that was commonplace. This is something that was very much out of the ordinary. So she was indeed shocked at the fact that Jesus was speaking to her. The fact that he had contact with her, that showed the compassion that he had. It showed that he cared not just for those that were Jews, but those people that were Gentiles, those people that were erring, right? Not just Israel. That he cared about all. And we're going to get a little bit more into that later on in the lesson. But Jesus shows compassion in the fact that he is simply even going to Samaria. And I want us to look at something. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 1. "Be imitators of me, just as I also am in Christ," of Christ, excuse me. Paul points out that if we want to be if we want to be right, we want to be imitators, this is what we are to do. This is the example that's been given to each and every one of us as the life of Jesus Christ, that we are to be, we're to be showing compassion. We are to be the example, right, that we follow is Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to be an imitator of Paul, he says that he is an imitator of Jesus Christ. And this is what we need to do. We need to have compassion on people and understand. We were talking this morning in Bible class about how do we talk with people. It was brought up a couple different times in different ways. And I want us to understand that we need to be compassionate in those things. We have a tendency sometimes, or I do at least, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I have a tendency sometimes to get a little bullheaded and to get a little bit of what Brother French was talking about this morning. Well, if you don't believe this, then bang, bang. What good are we doing? Is that doing good? Is that helping anybody to understand who Jesus Christ is? Or are we simply running them off? We need to be careful. We need to be compassionate in what we are doing and the way that we're talking to people and trying to spread the word. the point that was brought up is, that Brother French brought up is, I want to hear what they have to say. Because I want to know what they have right. Maybe they have it all right. Maybe we're in complete agreement. But we need to be patient and compassionate to the people that we are ministering to and the people that we're talking to and we're trying to spread the gospel. We think back to Matthew 28. The Great Commission to teach and preach the gospel. Also in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. If I'm supposed to follow the example of Jesus Christ, that is not new news. That is something that we all know. That is something that we all strive to do on a daily basis, right? Is to follow the example that Jesus Christ left for us in coming to this life as a human being and living perfectly. This is what I am to do. I am to be an imitator of his. He showed compassion. Therefore, I need to show compassion. Not just in this sense of evangelism, not just in the sense of teaching others about the gospel, in every way, but we need to be compassionate. In John, the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 14, it says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of this water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. I want us to understand that what we are to be teaching and what Jesus taught, okay, is that there is a gift and a giver in the gospel that we preach. It is no secret that the world that we're living in is a world of sin. Turn on the TV at any point. Go walk down the street and you can see the lawlessness and the sin of this world. And it's unfortunate and it's saddening. It really is. But it's the world that we live in. And I want us to understand that people do not need a watered-down gospel. They need the gift and the giver. They need what Jesus Christ offered in his death, burial, and resurrection, correct? They don't need some type of social aspect and all of these different things that we can get caught up in and that the world and the quote-unquote religious world does get caught up in often and trying to do all of these different things to bring people. What did Jesus use? He used the gospel. The world needs to hear about the gift of salvation and the giver in Jesus Christ. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23, scripture that most of us can quote, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The world needs to hear about that. This is what we are here to do. We are here to spread that gospel. We are here to show those who are lost and erring the ways of Christ, what he did, what we have to look forward to. Have you ever had anybody come to you and ask about simply just, why do you have such a different attitude about things? Something can be extremely wrong in the world, and there's people that are just kind of up in arms about it and don't know what to do and where to be and what to do, right? And I don't worry about those things, or I try not to at least. But do we tell them and show them why I have that attitude? I have that attitude because the wages of sin is death. I am a sinner. I am dead, but I have a free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. There is a gift and a giver. The gospel that we preach should always involve both. We need to understand we are preaching Jesus Christ, and that is the way that we are saved, is because of his sacrifice. But there's also something to look forward to. Why should I obey? Why should I follow this Jesus that you are talking about? Why should I follow the Jesus of the Bible? Well, because it's pointed out so many times that we have a free gift of God that is eternal life. And anything that is preached that does not involve both is doomed from the beginning. We need to give them the full picture. We need to give them everything that there is in the gift and the giver of the gospel that we're preaching. And again, going back to if I am following his example, the example of Jesus Christ, then when I'm teaching that gospel, I am to show both the gift of salvation and the giver in Jesus Christ. Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." There is a gift from God, and we need to understand that, and we need to point that out and share that. Another thing, going back to our story at the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus was interested in souls. Jesus was interested in all souls. And I think that I don't know about you, but I sometimes don't maybe say things to people that I should. Maybe thinking, you know, a judgment of myself, they're not going to care. It's not going to matter to them. It's not going to be this or that. It's not going to be important to them. Who am I to make that judgment? Jesus was interested in all souls. In Mark the 8th chapter, in verses 36 and 37, it says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus was interested in men's souls. Why? Because what are we going to gain? If we get the entire world, we get everything that we could possibly want on this earth in exchange for my soul, what do I have to look forward to? This physical life that is but a blip on the radar of life? Luke the 19th chapter and verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save those which were lost." Not those certain people, not a set apart people. He came to seek and save those who were lost. Everybody that was lost, he was here to save. And this is our commission. This is what we've been tasked with as well. Not certain people, all people. Jesus was interested in all souls. He looked for the opportunity to share with with as many as he could. He didn't just look for the couple people that wanted to follow him and had some type of attention on him as he walked through towns. He sought people out. When he asked the woman at the well to call her husband, he was pointing out the fact that who he was. That was the real point there, is he was pointing out that he was Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand something else that I thought of when I read that. He was wanting to teach those other people as well. Go and get your husband, right? I want to minister to him as well, even though he is not your husband. But he wanted to teach more than just that one person. He was interested in all souls. He was not only interested in her soul, but her family and her friends as well. And we read later in John, the 4th chapter, in verse 39, it says, "From the city, many Samaritans believed in him because the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all the things that I have done.'" She went testifying, and that was his point, was to reach more people because of what he had shown her. And we see this throughout the Bible and what he did through the apostles and what he did while he was here on this earth was bringing all as many souls as he possibly could. And we need to open our eyes to the opportunities that are out there. This is something, again, I preach so much to myself. I need to look for the opportunities. I need to open my eyes and realize and look at the opportunities that are there to minister, to talk to people, and not worry about being the weird person or that guy that just talks about all these different kinds of things that I don't really care about. Great. If they don't care about it, that's their business. But I'm still tasked with sharing that with them. Talked in a different lesson in this same series that there are going to be people in our walk as we minister to people and as we evangelize that are going to listen to the truth and not care. They're going to listen to the truth and it's not going to make a difference to them. It's a hard fact of evangelism. But that shouldn't keep us from sharing that. And that shouldn't keep us from approaching everybody that we can and talking to them about who Jesus Christ is. We need to be interested in all souls, just as Jesus Christ was. We need to be so happy, right? We have so much to look forward to and a gift that we've been given by the giver, right? That we have this thing that boils inside of us that we must share. I need to share who Jesus Christ is because I need to show you what he's done for me. All of these things that happen on this earth and death and sickness and all of these different things that the turmoil that is caused in this physical life, I don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. It's hard and it's something I have to struggle through while I'm here, but I want to show you what I have to look forward to when this life is over. And Brother D. Bowman, I've said it a million times, but put it the best that I think that anybody ever could. If you have missed heaven, you have missed all there is. I hope that we live with that and want to share that with people. So Jesus showed compassion. He showed the gift in the giver. He was interested in all souls, and Jesus taught the truth. And that is what we are here to teach. We know that, but we are here to teach the truth. He even corrects her method of worship, in a sense, in John 4, and verse 9, beginning in verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet," because he tells her all these things. "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Jesus taught the truth. He corrected her method. In verse 22, he points out that she didn't even know what she was worshiping. But then he teaches her the proper way in verse 24, in spirit and truth. And just a quick note, in Jeremiah, the first chapter, in verse 10, it says, "See, I have appointed you to this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build up and to plant." I want you to see, I use this as just the progression of things. Sometimes we need to correct things. We need to do that in a loving, compassionate way. But sometimes there are things that need to be corrected. Sometimes I need to be corrected. We need to have an honest heart. And we need to be, if we are wrong, we need to study the word and find out that we are wrong and correct those things because, again, all I want is to go to heaven. And I know that you do as well. But sometimes we have to correct and sometimes we need to be corrected. In John, the 8th chapter, in verse 32, I'm actually going to go to my Bible here. And I'm going to read 31 and 32. It says, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" We must teach the truth and the absolute truth. We live in a world that says truth is relative. What's true for Mason is not true for Blake. What's true for Donnie is not true for Blake. this is not the world that we live in, brethren. This is not the truth that Jesus Christ and that God have put forth. This is absolute truth. If you take it, you take it. If you don't, it doesn't change the fact that it's truth. This is the truth that we are to be teaching. And understand that and understand the power that it has. Jesus wanted to win souls. Jesus was interested in all souls, but Jesus wanted to win all souls. John the 4th chapter and verse 5. Verse 35. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest, which I think is the lesson that you're getting next week. So I will not delve too deeply into that. But Jesus wanted to save souls, wanted to win souls. The apostles and the other followers questioned the fact that Jesus was even talking to this Samaritan woman, going off of the tradition that the fact of the Jews and the Samaritans not commingling, really. But Jesus was concerned with the souls. Jesus was concerned with her soul. And if you remember later on in the reading, they keep talking to him about eating. Teacher, Rabbi, don't you want to get some food? Don't you need to eat? We've been traveling and you haven't eaten all day. And Jesus was more concerned with her soul than he was food. Doesn't that convict you to want to reach people? Doesn't that show you the example and how Jesus lived his life and ministered to the people that he was here to do? Because if it doesn't convict you, it should. It should, because Jesus was more concerned with someone's soul and teaching them the right ways of God than he was about sustenance for himself and his physical body. What a true example that Jesus left for us. We should never not look for the opportunity to reach out to others. I've said that before in this lesson, but I need to drive that home more to myself than anybody. We need to be concerned and look for every opportunity that I possibly can to reach others. To look for the opportunities that oftentimes, brethren, for myself again, are put directly in front of me. In years past, I know that people have been directly in front of me and talking and asking about God, and I didn't do enough. I've been there. Truly understand the importance that it was to Christ. Understand the importance of the gospel and the example that we have in Jesus Christ's life. And looking at that, looking at the example that Jesus gave us, looking at the importance that it was to him, shouldn't it be important to us? No one's going to shake their head back and forth at that. We all know, but are we attempting this? Are we really looking to try and do these things? And in verses 35, I don't have it up here, but in verses 35 through 38 of John the 4th chapter, it says, "Do you not say there are yet four months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in that case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." And I apologize, I didn't get through that very concisely, but sometimes we don't get to harvest. Sometimes we are teaching and ministering to these people, and we're talking and we're showing them what Jesus Christ did, and we're having lengthy Bible studies, and we're having conversations that are wonderful, and we're doing all of these different things. and they don't change. But in the example set here, we can easily, I want to make this point, we can easily be discouraged by this, right? I've taught them the truth. I've showed them what they need to do, and they don't care. It's hard. It's something that can be very discouraging to us. People may not obey, but I want you to understand this. People may not obey at that moment. There may be somebody else that comes across and more than likely says something in a different way that maybe makes more sense to that person, and they obey. And what does it say in verse 36? So that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Why? Because a soul has been saved. I want us to understand that. Many believed Jesus, right? Think about Acts, the 8th chapter. In verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Maybe others had ministered to these people. Maybe these people were there when Jesus was speaking, right, and teaching. But they didn't believe. But they did when Paul, when Philip ministered to them. They were baptized. They obeyed the gospel. Think about these things. Don't be discouraged whenever you're studying with people and showing them the truth, because hopefully something that we've planted in their brain, in their mind, in their heart, takes root and wears at them and wears at them and wears at them until they find maybe somebody else to talk to, and they obey the gospel. Jesus did not get upset at not being able to harvest that fruit. But he planted the seed, and he watered, and he cultivated, and he made sure that everything was right and ready to go. And sometimes we just have to wait for the fruit to come. And I want you to remember this. What we're using and what we're talking about in Romans 1st chapter and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Remember, brethren, that the gospel is enough. We don't need to be talking about anything else. We don't need to be preaching anything else. We are not to preach anything else. But the gospel is enough. I'm going to go back to what I said before, and we get a lot of this, quote, religious world that gets caught up in different social aspects to bring people in. Brethren, the gospel is enough. That is why, that is what is to bring people to Christ, is the good news that we have eternal life in him. We need to have faith in it and know that it's going to work, that God's going to do that work. Maybe we prepare the soil and plant the seed and water and let all things come, and someone else gets to harvest. I'll go back to verse 36. So that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. A soul has been saved. That's the point. We should rejoice when the gospel call is answered, regardless of who gets to, quote, reap that benefit. Who gets to take the confession and baptize that person, or maybe just make some type of breakthrough in a study. Oh, that makes a whole lot of sense. Whatever. Blake, I studied with Blake for 2.5 years, and then I went and studied with Stephen, and it just made more sense. Great. We can rejoice in the fact that that person has obeyed Christ. This should be something that we rejoice in. You think about those things, right? You think about, let me see if I can tell this story and handle it. I can. We think about things in life that when someone obeys the gospel especially if it's someone close to you, do you not rejoice? Does that not bring so much joy to your life? Change your outlook for who knows how long, right? When you've been studying with somebody for a long time and they come to you and say, I need to talk to you. What a wonderful thing, right? What a beautiful thing that we're able to do. I want us to understand that is something that we rejoice in regardless of who it is because it's a soul saved. And Jesus used one thing to win souls, and that was the word. In John, the 4th chapter, in verse 42, and they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Jesus showed these things. This is the only way. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This is the only way that we are going to be able to teach. Going back to the truth, the gospel, the only thing that we need is the word. When we teach with the word and only the holy inspired word of God, we will add souls. God will add souls to his church. This is how people obey. The gospel, brethren, is enough. Never forget that and understand that the example that Jesus has left us in ministering to people, the many and the individual. So I hope that you will go into the world and use the principles and the examples that the best teacher that ever was showed us and gave us. That being Jesus Christ, the example that we are to follow and the one that gave his life for us to be able to look forward to life eternal. Brethren, the lesson is yours. But we never want to close without offering an invitation. And that invitation is this. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, let us show you. Let us study with you. Let us show you in the word and the word only what has been set forth and what has been said and what has been taught and show you what you need to do to be able to look forward to a home in heaven with your Creator, with your Savior, and with those that have gone on before. I hope that that brings joy to your heart. And I will say this again. If you have missed heaven, you have missed all there is. Because this life offers so little compared to what we're going to enjoy. If you're subject, if we can show you who Jesus is, you don't know who he is, and you need to make your life right with him, we would offer this invitation to you. But we also offer it. If maybe you've strayed off course, maybe you just need prayers or something that you need some help with from your brethren, because that is what we are here for. That invitation is offered to you as well. If you're subject and you think that this is something you need to do, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.